Never forget that God is always good. You see anything bad going on, coming against your life? It's not God. God is good all the time. Before we hop into the message today, something that you need to understand, and that is there is no situation that you're currently dealing with, that you're currently going through, that's bigger than your God. There's nothing that is coming against you that's bigger than God. The Bible says that where sin abounded, where sin continued to accumulate and build up and continue to come and come and come and come and come and come, grace was always there accumulating more. Where sin abounded, grace abounded that much more. And grace was the thing that removed the sin. Grace is the empowerment to do what you can't do by yourself. It's the empowerment to do what you can't do in your own strength. So where sin abounded and man could not free himself of sin, God had something in place already called grace to get him out of that situation. And it doesn't stop with just sin or moral failure. The Bible says that when Adam did his thing and sin entered the world, death came through sin and it spread to all. And that's anything that's unlike what God meant in the garden. That's poverty, it's lack, it's depression, it's turmoil, it's drama. Anything unlike the name and the blood, know that the grace of God is there. If lack seems to be accumulating in your life this night, say, I receive the grace of God that's going to walk me out of that. Maybe you see no way to get out of that lack by yourself. Maybe you don't see anything in your natural strength or your natural resources to get out of that. Know that the grace of God is accumulating. Where lack is abounding, know that grace has abounded much more. And that grace is going to walk you out. If sickness and disease seem to be mounting in your life, know that the grace of God has mounted much more and is going to remove that sickness out of your life. It won't be anything of your own doing. It will be the grace of God on your life to remove that sickness, to remove that disease, to remove that lack, to fix that family problem. No matter how big the situation looks, this night, know that the grace of God is there. The grace of God is available to you. And before that attack, that situation ever even came into your life, the Bible says that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with the temptation, the victory comes with it. There is nothing that enters your life that God hasn't already brought victory over. There is nothing that's going to come your way that victory does not come with it. So know that there is a way out of whatever it is that you're dealing with this night. That there is no situation that's bigger than your God and greater than His grace active in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I want to talk with you for a few minutes tonight about embracing your uniqueness. Embracing your uniqueness. You are a unique person. God made you unique. You have your own individual fingerprint, footprint. You look the way you look. You're as tall as you are. These are all physical characteristics of you, but there are spiritual characteristics that God has given you. You are unique, and it's important to embrace the uniqueness of who you are. God's plan is for you to express His kingdom and to establish His kingdom in the earth with your own unique bent, with your own uniqueness. And it's important that we train our kids in this, It's important that we train our young people in this. And for some of us who are older, it's important that we get a hold of this and embrace this. God is a beautiful God. When you read the description of heaven, it's a beautiful place. It's colorful. It's bright. Many different facets to it. God is not black and white. He's colorful. God is not bland. He's flavorful. He's beautiful. And it is not God's will for his body to all be doing the same thing the same way. But it is God's will for us all to be on one accord. So the message this night is not about rebellion. It's not about not submitting to authority. It's not about doing your own thing, your own way, because you don't want to fall in line with the Sunday school department, the praise team, or whatever. You know, I used to, long, long time ago, I used to sing in the choir. Not this choir, but, you always had a few people in the choir. We had about 100-person choir. You always had a few people in the choir who thought it was their time for a solo. Now, we're all supposed to be singing the same note. But somebody wants to use the opportunity as their chance. You know, back in my day, they had Star Search. You know, they didn't have American Idol. They had Star Search. It was their opportunity to, maybe I might get noticed, you know. And we're all supposed to be singing the same note, right? Somebody wanted to sing out a little bit, to be recognized, to be noticed. There is a place for order in the body of Christ. There is a place for us all to be flowing together in one accord. But there are unique expressions to what God is doing, to what God does. And so there is variety in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. We don't operate from a different spirit. We all operate from one Spirit. The Bible says we've all been made to drink from one Spirit, but there's variety within that Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. Not all ministries are the same. Not all ministries should try to be the same. Out of the tens of thousands of churches that are around, that are true churches established by God, called by God, God has a unique expression in that culture, in that community, and has a unique platform for that body in this time and in this season. And it's not God's will for each church to try to duplicate the other. It's not God's will for every church to intentionally take the same approach. Why do you run your church the way you do? Why do you run your Sunday school class the way you do? Why do you run your youth ministry the way that you do? Why do you run your praise team the way that you do? I'm not talking about House of the Lord praise team. I'm just talking about in general, the different ministries that are out there. Some people try to be cookie cutter. They try to take the same approach. Instead of hearing from God as to how you want this to operate, how you want this to function, and how you want it to flow. When you seek to duplicate doing things the way everybody else, the way every other praise team, the way every other youth ministry, the way every other church is doing it, when you seek to do that, you rob the earth of its blessing. You are robbing the earth and the people of the earth that unique expression of God's kingdom in that moment, in that culture, in that community, in that season. You want to make sure that you hear from God about the flow of whatever it is, the business that He's called you to. What is the flow for that business? Well, I heard so-and-so did it this way. I'm going to do it that way. Well, that might be okay. There's nothing wrong with not reinventing the wheel. But you want to be sensitive about God maybe wanting you to flow in that differently, because it's going to bless different people in different ways. You want to be sensitive to the voice of God. You want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in terms of what God is saying and what God is doing. So there's a variety of ministries. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one, the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing, the effecting of miracles, prophecy, the distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 14, for the body is not one member. The body is not a one-trick pony. Well, this is the trend for the way worship service goes. You do this, then you do this, then you do this, then you do this, and then you close and you make sure nothing lasts more than an hour. Get everybody out on time so that they can go eat and do whatever they do, because if you keep them too long, they won't come back. So don't inconvenience anybody. Give everybody a position. Give everybody a role. Let everyone do something. Make the people happy. There are trends in the atmosphere. There are trends in the earth. And not all trends are godly trends. There is a prince of the power of the air. And so you want to make sure that if you are following a trend, that it is a godly trend for your ministry and for your business. You don't want to follow trends for the sake of following trends, because that's the end thing to do with ministry, Sunday school, youth, praise and worship, church, business, family. This is the new thing out. We need to make sure that we are on the cutting edge of that and that we're keeping up. You don't need to keep up with anything but what God has called you to. There's nothing wrong with keeping up and knowing what's going on out there. But you only have 24 hours in a day. And you have to learn to spend the bulk of your time investing in what God's put on the inside of you. If you try to be an expert in everything, you won't be an expert in anything. You can't do everything. You can't be everyone. And you can't do everything the way everybody else does it. You have to stay true to you, what God's put on the inside of you. Listen, the way God's put it on the inside of you. I may not teach like someone else. Someone else may not teach like me. That's great. That's wonderful. Why? Because everybody has a different flavor. I may not sing and praise like everyone else. And everyone else may not sing like me. But that's great. As long as you can flow in order and flow with the tapestry of the Holy Spirit, there's room for flavors, colors, and manifestations of different types of ministries and gifts. I was noticing Brother Richard tonight, and I can't do that on a piano. I've tried to play the piano, and I got down a song or two, but it's just not my flow. It's just not my thing. Now, every now and then when I pass one and no one's looking, I kind of, you know. But it's just not my flow. We are blessed to have Brother Richard. Amen. We are blessed to have him. And I think sometimes we forget how talented the body of Christ is. I think sometimes we can allow each other to become common. Well, you know, we see Bill and Renee all the time, and it can't be lost, the talent and the gifts that God has put in his body worldwide. You know, and you know, sometimes when you're around, you know, Damon is a beautiful singer. You know, but if you're around Damon long enough, and you know, it's just Damon. Well, you know, Damon's anointed. Damon's brother Richard is anointed. We have a pastor that's one of the best teachers the world has ever seen. We have treasures in earthen vessels. And look, it doesn't matter if Damon is tired. He's still anointed. Okay? It doesn't matter if Jerry had a bad day or said something that she shouldn't have said. She's still anointed. Why? Because we have treasure in faulty vessels sometimes, y'all. Mud pots. But the treasure is still there. Just because you weren't on point every day this week doesn't mean you're any less gifted. Doesn't mean you're any less anointed. Just because you messed up, made a mistake, lost your temper, it doesn't mean the gift is not still there. You are still anointed. You are still gifted. So we can't allow, in talking about gifts and ministries, we can't allow these things to become common amongst one another. We should not call anything of God common, because it's not common. And that includes the gifts that God puts in the body. They're not common. They're to be treated with respect, to be treated well, no matter what the earthen vessel looks like or how they behave on occasion. The gift, the treasure, is beyond the earthen vessel. The gift, the treasure, is beyond the maybe broken person. And eventually, by God's grace, that person will get it right so that the vessel can align with the gift. But even if that vessel's broken, that gift, that talent, that ability is still there. So there's variety in the body, and God wants kingdom trendsetters. God wants kingdom citizens who blaze new paths, who forge new paths of kingdom manifestation and ministry in different ways that have never been seen before, that bring his glory to the earth, to spheres of influence in different ways and different manifestations. God wants trendsetters. He wants trailblazers. Same spirit, same message, same Lord, different manifestations. Different ways, different platforms, different ways of the kingdom manifesting to reach cultures, peoples, entities, nations, in a way that they'll connect with the wrapper, they'll connect with the package, and because they connect with the package in terms of the way it's being manifested, they'll be able to connect with the contents of the package, which is the kingdom element that they need to engage, whether it's righteousness, peace, joy, health, life, that life more abundantly. God wants trendsetters to blaze new paths. And really, it's nothing new. It is every member of the body of Christ being sensitive to what's on the inside of them, how God put it on the inside of them, and allowing it to manifest in its very unique way. And not worrying about, well, Sister so-and-so, she's reputable, and she doesn't do it that way. Who knows but that the way God is telling you to do it is something new, is going to forge a new path that people have never seen before. You know, you talk about innovation in business. There is innovation in ministry ways, in ministry manifestation. Now, there's nothing new. God doesn't change. The kingdom message is not going to change. It is what it is. We never change our message. We never change the spirit. Never change our Lord. But the ways that ministry is able to be facilitated, there's a variety. And I don't know that all of God's color, all of God's flavor has been able to come out yet in the body of Christ, but will come out now in this time and in this season as people wake up to understand that I'm unique and that God wants to flow through me in a unique way to reach a unique set of people. Too many people are trying to keep up with what's around them instead of keeping up with what's in them. Too many people are trying to keep up with what's around them instead of keeping up with what's in them. Trying to keep up with the family trends to make my family look like everybody else's family. Trying to keep up with the church trends. Trying to keep up with the music ministry trends. Trying to keep up with the youth trends. I've been to a number of youth conferences, events. I know Rob and Jerry have, and some other people have as well. But there was a period where everybody was doing the same thing. Everybody seemed to be doing the same thing. And some of it was God. But some of it was, how can we get a crowd? And how can we be in the in crowd? And make sure that we're doing the latest thing and make sure that we're relevant. Listen, if you are doing what God has called you to do, and you are allowing the kingdom to flow out of you in its unique way with all of God's color and all of God's flavor, you will be relevant. You don't have to be conformed to this world system or to trends that enter the church based off of worldly thinking to be relevant. When the kingdom truly, truly is manifesting through you, you will be relevant and people will want what you have. What you won't be relevant in is religion and the traditions of man. The traditions of man in the church, religion, doing it for some other reason other than inspiration from the Holy Spirit, has at times made the church not as relevant as it could be. So make sure you're not trying to keep up with what's around you. You want to keep up with what's on the inside of you. You want to know what God has put there, and you want to be sensitive to how you flow, how you go, how you know, and the direction that God wants you to go in. You want to be sensitive to what's going on inside of you. So people who try to keep up with what's around them instead of what's in them never realize the full potential of what God has put inside of them or fulfill what God has called them to do. We want to make sure that whatever we do it the way God said do it. And that's starting a business. What's the business plan? Pray. Listen. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. Ministry. What's the plan? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, show you. Whatever that ministry is, in all the different spheres of influence, there can be many ministries. What's the plan? What did God tell you to do? Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them according to all that I am going to, what? Show you. Build it according to the way God shows you. Don't build it based off of trends. Don't build your family based off of trends. Don't raise your kids based off of trends. You build it and you build into them the way God shows you. Don't build your church based on trends. You build it the way God shows you. Exodus chapter 26 and verse 30. Same thing. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to its plan, which you have been what? Shown. You were shown the plan on the mountain. You were shown the plan in prayer. Now execute according to that plan. Now, everybody is not going to be mindful of what God told you. Okay? Now again, we're not talking about, you know, someone's discipling you, or you have fathers in the faith or mothers in the faith or elders who were giving you godly counsel and you just deciding to ignore it because you want to do things your own way. That's not the spirit or the context that we're coming from. Okay? But I will say that there may be people in your life, in your family. They may even be believers in your family who may not be mindful of what God showed you and what God told you. Okay? Not all, but sometimes you might run into that. Okay? People who were not mindful of the things of God attempted to direct the course of Jesus' life. People who were not mindful of the things of God attempted to direct the course of Jesus' life. We see Peter say, uh-uh, Lord. Just funny because you can't say, uh-uh, Lord. Jesus began to tell them, show them the things he must suffer. And Peter said what? No, let it never be. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Peter was relatively close to Jesus. He wasn't as close as John. He was relatively close to Jesus, but yet did not understand the purpose, the uniqueness of the call of Jesus. And so try to forbid him from doing what God had called him to do. There may be people that you come across like that, okay? There may be a certain direction that family members want you to go or think you should go with your business, your ministry, and more importantly, your life, okay? And so just know that people are not always going to be, you can go to the quote unquote expert and they'll try to tell you what you should do. And it may be great advice. It may be good sound of advice, all things considered. But it may or may not reflect what God told you and the way for you to do it. Well, it seems like, you know, they're an expert and whatever the thing is, it makes sense. Well, here's the thing. God does not make sense. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Sense is we walk by faith and not by sight or sense realm evidence. Okay? Sense is what we can see, touch, feel, taste. Senses are smell. Senses are not a bad thing. But you can't allow yourself to be, you can't allow the course of your life to be directed by senses. So when we say that God does not make sense, God is directing the course of your life. He's not looking at the things that man is looking at, the senses. He's looking at himself and his will for you, for your life. So just know that the quote unquote, you know, medical expert, the quote unquote athletic expert, you know, the quote unquote, you know, your personal trainer. I don't have a personal trainer, but I thought about it. I need to lose a few pounds. But personal trainer might say, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing this. And God speaks to you and says, look, do this and you'll lose the weight. You don't need to do all that. Now, God may not speak to you and say anything about that. And it may be okay to follow the advice of that personal trainer because they have education. They have skills. They have knowledge in that area as far as the earth is concerned. So nothing wrong with that, but just know that at times what you hear from people may conflict with what God told you. Not all the time, but sometimes. And they may or may not be mindful because they just don't know. Sometimes they just can't know. They may not know what God told you, okay? Or how God presented that to you. So Peter, probably not on purpose, but he did, attempted to direct the course of Jesus' life. John chapter 7, verse 2. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths was near. Therefore his brothers said to him, leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples may see the works you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers were believing in him. Wow. So Jesus said to them, my time. Now there's a season for you to do things. And sometimes people can try to push you to do things that it's not your season to do. People can try to say, well, you should go buy that car right now because it's December and they got incentives. What is that? That's sense realm evidence, right? Now, that may be good, but if God said wait till February, then God said wait till February, right? They're not mindful of the seasons of God for you as a believer. You're a believer. They may not understand. The world may not understand. Well, You should go buy that house right now. You know, this happened, this happened, it's on sale. If God didn't say go buy the house right now, wait until God says now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. God's not trying to hold anything back from you, but there are times, there are seasons. You know, go take that trip. It's summer. Everybody travels in summer. That's a trend. It may or may not be in line with what God told you. If God said, don't take that trip this week, take it this week. You know, our pastor listens to God about, and he has over the decades, right? Who to have in when. Not just who to have in, but when to have them in. So there are times and there are seasons that the world system may not be mindful of, okay? And you have to know that. You have to be aware of that. So even his brothers attempted to direct the course of his life. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Little bit of context. Jesus had been traveling with his family, going back home. His parents look around and said, where'd the boy go? He's not there. He's run off to the temple, and he is debating, conversating with the leaders of that time, and they are all being amazed and wowed. And his parents come looking for him. And in verse 48, his mother says, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know I had to be in my father's house? Some people may not understand that you need to be in the father's house. Why do you go to church so much? You went Sunday. Why are you going on Wednesday? Why are you going Sunday night? Tuesday night? I thought church was just on Sunday. No. You are the church, first off. You are the body of Christ. It's every day. But some people may not be mindful of where you need to be at a particular time on a certain day as a believer. They may not be mindful of your schedule, that you are on your father's schedule, okay? So if you are going to be the unique person, the unique kingdom citizen, the unique son of God that he's called you to be, then you have to make sure not to fall in the trap of letting people who are not mindful of the things of God, I'm not talking about not letting elders and fathers in the faith and you know, people that God is using in your life to disciple and train you and raise you up, but people who are not mindful of the things of God to direct your life, okay? Because when you do that, then you will never realize the full potential of what God has put on the inside of you or fulfill what God has called you to do. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. Let's skip down to verse 38. Most of you know the account here. David shows up to the front line of the battle. Goliath is hurling his threats. David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He says, let me at him. I'll take him down. Saul says, all right, you convince me. Verse 38, then Saul clothed David with his garments. Okay, so if you're going to operate in your uniqueness, in your flavor that God has called you to, Be careful of trying to put on other people's garments, of trying to do what everybody else does, be who everybody else is. Look, you do not have to go to college to be successful. Don't go to college because all of your friends went to college. Now, I spent 4 years in college and graduated. Probably 80%, if not 90%, of the things I learned in the classroom at college am I using today. Some of it I am, but most of it I am not. So, if you're going to go to college, I tell people this, if you're going to go to college, know what you want to do, what God has called you to do. First off, if you don't know what you want to do or what God has called you to do, you got a vision, that's a lot of money to be spending to not know what you're going to do with that degree when you walk out the door. So know who you are, know what God has called you to do, and see whether or not a degree is needed to do that. You do not want to spend $100,000, $50,000, $80,000 and not be clear on why you're there. You just went there because the world system told you to go there. Don't go out for football if you ain't no good at football. And you don't even care about football? Well, Brian, all my friends went out for the team and I thought I should. No. You're a trendsetter. You can tell I work with teenagers and youth. You're a trendsetter. What is that unique thing on the inside of you? Well, Brian, I like poetry, but that's not cool. Let that poetry flow out of you the way God intended, because if God put it in there, it is going to affect someone or some group of people in some way at some point in time in a way that football, basketball, track, swimming, whatever it is, will not. Be sensitive about who you are and what God has put on the inside of you. Saul tried to put his garments on David. I've seen parents at football games who are trying to relive their glory years, running down the sideline, arguing with a coach or a referee. I've seen fights break out. Parents trying to live vicariously through their children instead of hearing from God as to what their bent is, what God has put on the inside of them, what God told them to do, and steering them in that direction, dedicating them to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is your son, this is your daughter. You've given me to be a steward. I will steward them faithfully. I will love them faithfully, but ultimately, they've got to go and do what you've called them to do. Let that uniqueness flow out. Listen to this and we'll close. It's those that stay in step with what's in them that are trendsetters. Those that stay in step with what's in them that are trendsetters. These are the ones who shape thinking in the earth. These are the ones who shape thinking in the earth. The businesses, the most innovative businesses and companies out there are the ones who did something new, who did something different, who developed a product that no one had ever thought about in a way that revolutionized the marketplace. They weren't content with just... There are some businesses who followed the path and business models of other businesses and had some success. here's the thing. Sometimes some success can be the enemy of great success. And God has called you to be greatly successful for the kingdom, not for the flesh, but for the kingdom. So these are the ones who shape thinking. These are the ones who develop the next groundbreaking product. Who knows but that the way you think, your own unique way, your own unique gift, is going to bring forth the next groundbreaking product in the earth that revolutionizes the way people do things, and then in it, you'll give glory to God because of the great success that God gave you. These are the ones who develop the next groundbreaking product. These are the ones who build institutions and transform methodologies in business, family, church, and ministry, resulting in more effective ways of establishing the kingdom of God in the earth. Resulting in more effective ways to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. Who is the transformative believer? The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who was the transformative believer, the believer that transforms the way things are done in order to stay true and faithful to what God has put inside of them? Because they've renewed their mind to the things of God, the word of God, and the call of God, the gifting of God that He put on the inside of them. These are the transformative believers. There are some believers who are content with coming to church or not coming to church, sitting on a pew, listening to the message, singing a few songs, going home, watching TV, getting up, going to work, and doing the same thing all over again for 70, 80, 90 years. But then there are some believers who are restless. In a good way. They want to put off that old way of thinking. They want to put off that old way of doing things. They want to pray and listen to God and hear from God and be directed by God on where I need to go and what I need to do and how I need to make that ministry, business, or event work well. They're thinking about new ways of doing things in the spirit. They're having dreams. They're hearing from God. They're pressing in to the things of God. They're spending time in prayer. And they're hearing from God. And sometimes this takes time. But when you see people venturing out into new things, different things, forging new paths, even at the age of 80, these are the ones who are transformative in their thinking. These are the ones who've been with God, spending time with God, and have not become religious, but have become relevant in the earth, salt of the earth, able to establish the kingdom in very unique ways, in unique spheres. I used to walk up and down Guadalupe Street on the University of Texas and share Jesus with people. Give out tracts randomly and had very minimal success. Very minimal success. I was on a Capital Metro bus sitting in the back and began to share the gospel with 8 to 10 people on the back of that bus who were there randomly. No response. Zero. Looked at me like I was crazy. I've knocked on doors. Minimum success. But I've stood in my living room, focusing, thinking I was doing something else, and led someone to Christ who I did not even plan to lead to Christ. Not because I wasn't looking for opportunity. I just hadn't planned to and they receive Christ, begin to cry, begin to throw their hands up in the air, begin to worship God. It was God transforming them and using me as a vessel. It was not random. Listen to God for that moment. Divine appointment. Listen to God for that season. I had somebody walk in my apartment one night. I wasn't there. It was an old friend. I got there. They were in my apartment because my roommate let them in. I had all these books in my bedroom. And he saw all these books. And I had a Rod Parsley. At that time, I had a Rod Parsley book on my shelf. He had been going through my books before I got there. He was not born again. He was not saved. But he was having a very, very hard time in his life. I got there. I said, "Hey, you know, I haven't seen you in, you know, a long time." And he said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "I need that right there." And he pointed at that Rod Parsley book. He said, "Whatever you got going on right here, I need that. I need that right there." Pastor, man, these are divine appointments. Now, I've got no problem with the typical trend of knocking on doors and give out tracts. And I've got tracts in my car. And if the Spirit of God tells me to give someone a tract, I give them a tract. So, but if there's no Spirit behind what you're doing, then it's just dry. It's just random. I've done random to dozens upon dozens of one-on-one encounters with people. I had one guy, he wanted some money. I took him to get something to eat, gave him a little bit of money, prayed with him, and he was willing to do whatever I told him to do as long as I, this is what the Spirit revealed to me. He'd be willing to do whatever you want him to do, as Brian, as long as you give him some food and money. I can't help but ask myself how effective I'm being when I'm just in following trend mode, when I'm not allowing that uniqueness and that divine appointment and the Spirit and the flow of God to operate. So in this time, in this season, who are the transformative believers? Who are the trendsetters, the ones that are forging new paths because they're hearing from God about whatever ministry, whatever business, whatever family God has shown you, God has called you to do? Let's make sure we're opening ourselves to that. Let's listen to God. Let's hear from God, because God has great and wonderful things for you to do. Great, wonderful things in store for you. Amen. Praise God. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for what you're showing us in this time and in this season. And we just open ourselves up to operate in your uniqueness, the thing that you put on the inside of us, the thing that you've called us to. Cause us to see what we need to see in the way that we need to see it, Father. Cause us to grow in this, Father. Cause us to be transformative, to be trendsetters in the earth, not for selfish glory, but for your kingdom, Father. We want to hear from you, know of you, and then go and be who you've called us to be on a daily, hourly basis, Father. Your family is blessed with every spiritual blessing this night. The word that's been planted takes root in good ground and bears fruit. No weapon formed against you will prosper. God is with you, and if God is for you, who can be against you? You are the blessed of the Lord. You are the children of God. You are the family of God. You leave here empowered. You go out and do what you God has called you to do, and you be who God has called you to be. Thank you, Father. You are dismissed.